in all the empty seats. We don't want anybody in the back texting, writing notes, being distracted. Okay, so get closer. If you have empty seats next to you, there's a whole row of empty seats here. Okay, it's 10:20, so we got to get moving because I want to have a panel so you can ask questions. This is part two of She is Beautiful, Who Am I? Last week, if you were at the session, we talked about body, soul, and spirit. This week, we're going to talk about hearing the voice of God. I think probably for me, that is the most important thing in my life, is to know what to do and how to do it and how God speaks to me so that I can identify when it's God speaking. So, has anybody ever had a challenge hearing God speak to you? If you're honest, you'll all raise your hands, because we all have. And I'm going to review very, very quickly. And Father, I just want to quickly just say to the Holy Spirit, thank you for the Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you for the teacher of the church. Thank you for the women that are here. Lord, I pray that you'd help my mind to function, my thoughts to be orderly. And Father, I pray for the ears of the listeners, that they would hear the word of God and they would do the word of God. And I thank you for the amazing privilege that you've given us of hearing your voice. Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So I thank you that it's your will that we hear your voice. A servant has one need from the master, and that is to know what the master desires. So Lord, we are more than servants. We are children. We are friends. We are your body. So I thank you that you do speak to us continually. And I thank you now, Father, for the light to shine in the midst of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I just prayed, and it is the will of God that we hear his voice. Oswald Chambers, who died in Egypt as a missionary at 31 years old, and he wrote an amazing book called, what did he write? Just left me. Isn't that awful? My Utmost for His Highest is what he wrote. And it's a wonderful devotional. If you don't have it, buy it. It's a classic. It is a classic. The man didn't live a long time, but it's brilliant. And it's a devotional. So every day there's just a little piece of a verse and then a thought. And it will change your life. It's life-changing. He was an amazing man. And he said this. He said, a servant has one right. A slave has one right, and that is to know what the master wants. So we are far more than slaves. Paul said, I'm a bondservant of the Lord. I'm a slave of God. God's will is for you and I to hear him. God's will is for you and I to know what his will is, to understand it, and to do it. Amen? So that's the will of God. So do I need to go to scriptures for that? You all know that, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I know God wants me to hear his voice more than I need to hear it or want to hear it, that helps me press in, okay? Now let's talk about just a quick review. Can I have three lovely girls up here? I'm just going to count you off. What's your name? Crystal, come on up. And what's your name? Lorraine, would you mind being something for me? Okay. I won't tell you what you're going to be yet. Just stand right here. And then I need one more. How about you? You're Karen. Karen, come here. All right. We are three parts. We live in a body. It's corporeal. That word corporeal means material. It's natural. You can touch it, taste it, feel it. The five physical senses. Smell it. Okay? Touch, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Those are the five, and see, six physical senses, right? Five. Anyway. So Karen is going to represent our physical part. I'm going to call you the flesh or the body. Now, you are not evil. Thank you. You're not evil, okay? You're just a physical body. You are where I live as my spirit and my soul. You house me. You're my house. You're my earth suit, okay? So you're adorable, and we love you, and you're not evil. However, you can be. All right. Kristen? Crystal is my soul. She is the pivotal part of this whole thing. My soul. And then Lorraine is my spirit. So I'm going to just explain those two things, because spirit and soul cannot be defined. They can only be distinguished. Now you'll find, well, I'm going to give you a definition of spirit and soul, but it's nebulous. In other words, we can search scriptures and we can do the best we can, but the word of God is the only one that can distinguish between soul and spirit, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You got your Bibles? Let's go there and see it, because this is important when you're identifying voices, all right? Because your spirit has a voice, your soul has a voice, your flesh has a voice, all right? So go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's just review quickly. Faith comes by hearing. This is a Bible study, so we're going to be in the Word today. Is that all right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So it says in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we're going to be in that chapter a lot today. It's about hearing God's voice. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. So does it say we have a soul and a spirit? What divides the soul and the spirit? The word of God, right? Did it identify the soul and the spirit? Did it explain the soul and the spirit? No, but it said there is one, and the only thing that can distinguish or that can absolutely nail it is the word of God. God, right? Because watch this. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the heart is the soul and the spirit, all right? And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So, I have a body that houses my soul, which is my personality, my ego, my emotions. What makes me me is my soul. My soul is eternal. It's going to live forever. My soul is what distinguishes me from you. I am not you and you are not me. And I have a spirit. I'm a spirit being. Jesus had a spirit. He talked to his soul. He said, my soul is deeply troubled. David talked to his soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Your soul will talk to you, and you will talk to your soul. Now, I'm going to give you a biblical definition from the theology books, all right? You may never remember this again, but I did it. The word soul is the word psyche, which is where we get the word psychology, soul. It is distinguished from the body. It is a seat of the affections, the will, the desire, the emotions, the mind, the reason, and the understanding. In other words, it's all that you are, your personality, your mind, your intellect, your will, and your emotions. It's the place where your decisions are settled. Are you with me? Your soul. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a soul. Introduce yourself. I am. All right, now the spirit is the essence of life. When God breathed into Adam, he became a living spirit. The breath of God, the ruach of God, the Hebrew for breath is ruach. That's the Holy Spirit. He is the breath of God. In the personhood of the Trinity, he's the third person. The Father is the one that conceives it all, right? These are all C's, so you can write these down. This is review. The Son, God the Son, is the one that commands it all. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. We know by faith that the worlds were created by the spoken Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. Jesus is the living word, is he not? So we have God the Father, who is the head. He conceives it. The Son, God the Son, declares it. The Holy Spirit, the ruach of God, is the power of God, the creative person of God. We see this in Genesis chapter 1. He creates it, all right? So he's the breath of God, the inspiration of God. Your spirit and my human spirit, when Adam and Eve died, what happened? We died. What is the biblical definition of death? Who can tell me? Separation. We don't cease to exist. We separate, right? All right, so my spirit separated from the Godhead. Before, it was getting everything from the Godhead. What was good, what was right, from God. Now I ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now all of a sudden my spirit is separated. So we would call that a dead snow. Spirit, did Adam's body die? Not for 930 years. It took a long time to kill that body, didn't it? To separate that soul and that spirit from that body, because that's what death is. It's a separation. Your soul and your spirit leave your body. Your body goes back to dust, just what Jesus said, right? Because if we don't get this, you're not going to understand who's talking to you, all right? So Adam and Eve sinned. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ceased to hear from God what was right and wrong. They were divinely fused. Their spirit was fused with the Holy Spirit. That's disconnected. Now they are getting their calls and their instruction from where? The kingdom of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Now they could tell themselves what is right and wrong. We become our own gods. We come under the authority of Satan. It's his kingdom. There are two kingdoms that are vehemently opposed to each other. They have already warred. Satan has been defeated, but we are now enforcing Jesus' victory on this earth. Are we not in our own lives first and preaching the gospel? So Satan's still alive and well on the planet, is he not? All right, so there's two kingdoms. Adam sold out. Satan took the principalities and he took his hosts, and he now is Lord over this earth, under Lord. He's the God of this world, Jesus said, right? And that's who crucified Jesus. They used flesh. And does it not say in Ephesians, for we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against rulers in high places. There is a demonic power. There's hosts of demonic beings that are warring against God's kingdom, are they not? All right, so we have here body, soul, and spirit. My soul is the pivoting point. Do I have that CD or do you have that picture of body, soul, and spirit? All right, when my spirit, which is the candle of the Lord, according to Proverbs 20, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's where God speaks to you. When you get born again, your spirit comes alive. It gets reconnected to the Holy Spirit. You get fused. The Holy Spirit now lives in you. Where does he live in you? Your spirit. Your spirit is born again. When Jesus looked at his disciples and he walked through those walls in John chapter 21, he said, flesh and blood, I'm not a disembodied spirit, right? What's a ghost? God is a God of spirits. For the Father is spirit, and he is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth, right? So we are spirit. That's why demons can't manifest unless they possess and inhabit something. They are disembodied. They have to have a corporeal body on the earth to function through. Are you with me? That's why they said to Jesus, don't send us to the abyss. Let us go into those pigs. And the pigs had enough sense to dive into the ocean and kill themselves, right? With the demoniac of Gerasene. Are you with me? I mean, this is all in the Bible, guys, okay? But we don't know this. We don't know because there's a lot of voices going on. Like, who's talking to me? It's like, there's a lot of me in there. Who knows what Jim's married to? Every day it could be something different. So my spirit is joined and fused to the Holy Spirit. My spirit has a voice. It's called your conscience. It will tell you, now that you're back with God and you're learning the word, it will tell you, don't do that. You shouldn't have done that. You're in the grocery store, you grab something and you don't want to buy it and you put it back on the shelf, but you don't put it back where it belongs. The Holy Spirit says, no. You should go put that back where it belongs. Have you ever had that voice tell you that? Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, who do you think that is? It's the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, all right? So that you can get an idea of what's going on in yourself. You don't think you're going crazy. You will talk to yourself. And yes, you will answer, and you're not losing it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, verse number 7, but we speak the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. In a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But, so eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, we don't know, but eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, we don't know, but I love the buts in the Bible. Because God's saying, yeah, that's true, but God has revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So you've got a spirit like God has a spirit. Your spirit knows the deep things of you. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. There is absolutely no disunity between God the Father who conceives it, God the Son who commands it, and God the Holy Spirit who creates it. No disunity. They are one. Unity, they are fused, they are one. If an angel came down here with another angel and God assigned one angel to rule the world and another to sweep the streets, these unfallen angels would not argue. They would not be absolutely covetous. They wouldn't fight with each other. They would both do what God told them to do, and they'd be happy doing it. Because there's unity and oneness. Are you with me? So, my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions has to be renewed to the Word of God. Because how do I know what God thinks unless I find it in the Word, right? My soul is the pivoting factor. Now, when my soul and my body has a voice. My body is the, here's the voice, the spirit of the world, which is Satan's kingdom. My appetites, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You're not evil, but I'm sorry. And you have a will. You have an appetite. Have you ever been on a diet and you've been hungry and all of a sudden you open the refrigerator, there's that coconut cream pie. Now your soul, your spirit over here is going, no, 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 don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it. You'll be mad at yourself. You'll hate yourself. Don't do that. God has given you grace to shut the door, walk away, walk away, walk away. And your soul's going, nah, I don't think so. And off you go. Oh, come follow her. You're linked. So the soul is going to either follow the voice of the flesh or the soul is going to follow, go walk over there, the voice of the spirit that says, no, no, don't eat it, don't eat it. And you obey your spirit. And then the flesh has to follow. One of them's going to tag along. The flesh and the spirit are at war with each other. They'll never get along. The soul is the pivot. It's the hinge. The soul is where you make the choice. It's where you make your choices. So, your soul is really important because your soul's either going to go with the flesh. We got it, we got it, we got it. We don't care. We don't care if we get on the scale and we can't get into our clothes. It's so good. Or the spirit that says, come with me, come with me. God's given you grace, the power to do what his word commands. Come on, come on. And here comes the body, and the body doesn't want to come, but the body comes under submission to the spirit and the soul, and you are now walking in the spirit. You got that? Thank you, girls. You did a great job. So, voices and choices. My soul has a voice. My emotions and my intellect. Right? It talks to me all the time. I don't feel like worshiping the Lord today. My body just says, yeah, you don't want to worship God. This is a stupid song. I don't like it. So you come in here and you go like this. Why? Because your soul is somewhere else. Come on, we all do it. We all do it. You are in a fight with your husband, and the Holy Spirit's saying, choose your battles. You sure you want to say that? You sure you want to do that? Back down. A soft answer turns away wrath, and your soul's going, oh, yeah, but did you hear what he just said? Do you know what he just did? How many times we've gone over this? And off you go. You've just made the choice. Your soul has a very loud voice. Your emotions, your will, and your intellect. So that's why so many kids that can be raised up in churches, 70% of the kids that are raised up in churches, when they go to college, don't return to the church. Why? Because what are they feeding their minds? The intellect and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the intelligence of this fallen world. Now that in itself isn't wrong. Science in itself isn't wrong. Science is wrong when science usurps the authority and the truth of God. Then it becomes sin and wrong. So we send our children off to the institutions of higher learning, and they don't return because they are filling their minds with the intellectual wisdom of this world, and the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. They think we're foolish, but in effect, if you've just done a little road trip around the television lately or the movies, you can see how stupid things are getting. We're not getting smarter. We're actually getting less intelligent and coarser. We are de-evolving. We're not evolving into goodness and virtue. We are devolving. We are sinking deeper and deeper into the slime pit of darkness. And Satan sees humanity as sheep for the slaughter, because this whole battle is over. Who's going to rule the souls of men? Will God rule the souls of men, or will Satan's kingdom rule the souls of men? And Satan's trick and his weapon is deception. So now let's look at the three voices. You have the voice of the spirit, which is your conscience. You have the voice of your soul, which is your intellect, your emotions. That's why you can't make decisions on emotions, because they are changing. When you make a decision or you pick a fight or you respond because of an emotional response and not the Holy Spirit in your spirit, you have just told your body, I'm going with you. And how many times have we done that? We've bit the bait and we've been so angry with ourselves. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Anybody ever done that? Of course. So your soul has a voice. What is the voice of the soul? It is your intellect and your emotions. What is the voice of the flesh? The voice of the flesh, your appetites. The voice of your spirit is your conscience. It's that little voice, all right, that is hooked into the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Your spirit always wants to do what's right. It always wants to do what's right. Your soul, it's not sure. And your body, it will just follow or it will lead, depending on what you're going to do. So, if we're going to hear the voice of God, I've got to, number one, identify who's talking to me. You got to stop and you got to say, who am I listening to? The voice of the world, the spirit of the world, which is clamor. Satan's kingdom, the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness to God? Is it the voice of the enemy, which is a lie? He went to Eve and said, hath God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die? Oh, you will not surely die. He challenges the word. When he went to Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, what did he say? If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. Right? I don't have to go there with you. You all know that scripture, right? So what did Satan do? He challenged the truth of the word, did he not? Now there is a spirit of the world, there's a spirit of God. The spirit of the world is Satan's kingdom, Satan. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we just read it. I've got to identify who's talking. The voice of my flesh, what is that? The voice of my flesh is my physical. Let's do it again. The voice of my flesh is my physical. Have you ever been young? I was once upon a time. I remember being young. My first boyfriend kissed me. My mom said, don't you do anything that you wouldn't do in front of Jesus. It didn't happen because I got pregnant. Why? Because that sexual desire and appetite was so strong. I wasn't a strong enough Christian and I got pregnant. Have you ever had that happen to you? Maybe you didn't get pregnant, but you kissed somebody and you knew, uh-oh, this is fire, this is dangerous. Now we live in a world that says it's okay. It's not okay. But your physical body, can you remember back that far, some of us that are old, when it was on fire? Jim and I are still on fire, but it's a lot. It's embers. But boy, when we fan it, it's good. It's okay. You change. It's all right. This is physical bodies. So your flesh has appetites, does it not? And it's a strong voice. It's a strong voice. How about this one? Oh, you're not going to drink. You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't drink. You shouldn't drink. You take one sip, then you take another sip. And before you know it, you are on your butt. Three sheets to the wind. You're a happy drunk, but you should not have done that. Right? Anybody ever done that? No, some of you are shaking your heads because you are holier than I ever was. I haven't drunk in 35 years. We took a vow and we haven't had any liquor. But before Jesus, I was an amazing sinner. And I know the appetites of the flesh. The soul has a voice. It's your intellect, your emotions, and the voice of your spirit is your conscience. Now, what is a voice of the Holy Spirit? Who can tell me? No? That's good. That's okay. I asked you to tell me. Conscience is connected to the Holy Spirit. I think you need to see that in the Word. I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths. God searches our spirit. Our spirit is God's lamp. It's the light. Are you with me? So your spirit, when it's born again, and God renews your spirit, infuses you with the Holy Spirit. He's you. You are one with him. That's why he's the head. We're the body. The Spirit of Christ is in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the body of Christ. We are the family of God. Why? Because there's this divine fusion. Do I know how it works? Oh, gosh, no. Like I said, you can distinguish, but you can't define soul and spirit. So we're doing the best we can. God will figure all this out when we get to heaven. But right now, it's very clear that there are voices and choices. Are there not? We know that we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. We know that our soul has a voice. Our spirit is joined to the Holy Spirit. It's the candle. It's the lamp of God. God's light shines in there. The Holy Spirit's the teacher of the church. He's the voice of God. He's the word of God. He's who talks to you. He's who you hear. He's the one that teaches you. He is the one that is here with you. The Father and Jesus are in heaven. Yes, we pray and they hear us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But I'm telling you right now, on this planet, on the inside of you, you are wall to wall. Holy Spirit. He has joined you. He has fused with you. He's not going to let you go. He is your teacher. He is your advocate. He is your attorney. He will argue with you. He'll tell you not to do something. He'll lighten your spirit up when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, what happened to me? My gosh, I didn't speak in tongues right away because I was a Baptist and I didn't believe in that. So I had to get underneath and get away from unbelief. Unbelief, because unbelief will stop it. This thing is all by faith. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, a little Calvary Chapel pastor younger than I was laid hands on me. Nothing happened. I didn't fall down because I would have run if I would have fallen down. I was waiting for the weirdos to come out. I was waiting. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit in Calvary Chapel on a Thursday night in Santa Barbara in 1978, nothing happened to me. I had no feeling. I had nothing. I went home. I didn't speak in tongues, but I opened my Bible, and oh my goodness, you would have thought somebody turned the light on, the penny dropped, and all the word of God that I had learned as a child, because my mother drug me to church until I was 16. I was there every service because she was a secretary to the pastor. So I was in every service. And all that word that I learned as a child, it just came up in me. It illuminated in me. All of a sudden, boom, 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 memories came back. All of a sudden, teachings came back. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will give you remembrance of the things that Jesus has spoken. That's what he does. He is the Spirit of God. When he comes into you, when you are born of the Spirit of God, and when you say, I want all the Holy Spirit I can have, you can't get saved without him, but you can get filled with him after you're saved, and that's the power of God coming on you. It's going to change everything. And for me, it opened the word of God. My candle lit up. It was like somebody turned the light on, and here comes the word. Here comes the word. Here comes the word. Here comes the word. And it's never stopped. The Holy Spirit is the voice of the word to you. In the Old Testament, you'll read the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to the old saints. The word of the Lord came. That was the Holy Spirit bringing the voice of God, the word of God. So the Holy Spirit has a voice. What is his voice? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness. And as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing That's why I said today I stopped it. As you sing, singing is a form of learning and memory. We are wired for it, guys. Our little vessels, our little ear things, everything is wired to hear the voice of God in us. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your heart, the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. So I've got to identify who's talking. Is it my flesh, my appetites? Is it my soul, my emotions, my intellect? Because if it's opposed to what God says, it wants to go with your appetites. Or is it the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Word? And my spirit is warning me, saying, go read the Word. Get your Bible. Go read the Word. Go read the Word. Get in the Word. Get to church. Get to church. Your conscience telling you, telling you, telling you, telling you, telling you. And you know, you can sear your conscience. You keep being disobedient, that conscience will be silent. You get a hard heart. We're going to look at that in a minute. This hindrances to hearing. So identify who's talking. Peter in Matthew chapter 16, this is a great example. I've used it so many times, I don't want to bore you with it. I'm just going to say it really fast. Matthew chapter 6, 18, that's our foundation scripture for the rock. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's on our walls. It's who we are. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, being the rock. The revelation of Jesus. When Jesus said to Peter, who do men say that I am? And Jesus and Peter said to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So who just spoke to Peter? According to that scripture, who just spoke to Peter? What did Jesus say? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is. So who spoke to Peter? God spoke to Peter, did he not? Okay, we'll just travel down that chapter, just a few sentences down. Jesus has now told them who he is. From that time on, verse 21, Jesus began to show to the disciples he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter, verse 22, took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. No, wait, he just heard from God. Now who is he hearing from? He just heard from God. Jesus said, Simon, blessed are you. For flesh and blood did not say this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, verse 17. We go down to verse 23. He says, get behind me, Satan. God just spoke to Peter. Now who is speaking to Peter? Where did this come out of? What mouth did this come out of? Do you have your Bibles? What did Peter say to Jesus in verse 22? Somebody read it. This is a Bible study. Somebody read it. Be it far from me, Lord, it shall not be unto you. He just told him he's going to Jerusalem to die. Peter says, be it far from me, Lord, this won't happen to you. And verse 23, what does Jesus say? Who's got verse 23? Read it out loud. Somebody read it. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So, God spoke to Peter about Jesus being the Christ. Now we're down the road on Jerusalem, and here's Peter with Jesus, and Jesus turns and whips around to Peter after he says that and says, get behind me, Satan. Was he speaking to Peter? Who was he speaking to? Who was he speaking to? Satan. Do you guys have your Bibles? Go to Matthew chapter 16. This is called Bible study. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If you don't get this, you're going to leave this place today and you could have had your lives changed. But because you don't understand, you're not getting it. In chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not say this to you, reveal it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Who revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah? God. All right, go down to verse 21. Jesus has just told him he's going to be crucified. Peter stops and he says, oh, no, Lord, this can't happen to you. Far be it from you that this would happen. Verse 23, Jesus whips around and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Who's he talking to? But who's he talking to in the natural? Peter. So who's Peter listening to? My point is that God has a voice and Satan has a voice. And just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's yours. And if you don't know that, when all these voices start coming at you, you're not going to know who's who. And right there, here's a disciple, Peter, who had the revelation of God about who Jesus was. And just verses down, he's now got a deception from Satan. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. And here's how you can tell. Look, this is a key to identifying voices. What does it say? Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. For, here's why. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. What are you mindful of? What is that thought mindful of? Is it mindful of the things of God, or is it mindful of the things of men? So when you get these thoughts, you can be at church, you can be sanctimonious, you can be listening to the pastor, all of a sudden, this horrific thought comes across your mind. It's like, where'd that come from? Man, you just take that foul thing and you cast it down in the name of Jesus. That has no authority in your mind. Satan can plant thoughts in our minds. Your mind is an airport. It's a landing field. Satan will speak to you in the realm of your soul. He cannot get to your spirit. It is born again. But he is after the pivot, the hinge, the soul. Are you with me? Your mind, your will, your emotions. That's why he'll get you revved up. That's why he'll use the flesh to get you so far in you cannot get out. That's why he works in the soulish realm. And when he is mindful of the things of men, it is not the Spirit of God. It is not your spirit. Your soul is listening to the deceiver. Anytime he tries to separate you from the truth of God, when God says, by his stripes I'm healed, facts are I'm sick. Facts are I've got in the natural osteoporosis. Facts are my bones are disintegrating. That's the fact. I took the test. That's the fact. But the truth is, you see, the truth overrides the fact. The truth is, by his stripes I'm healed. That I'll be fresh and flourishing in my old age, not ceasing to bear fruit, because I'm planted in the house of God. And those that are planted in the house of God shall not stop bearing fruit. They'll be fresh. They'll be flourishing. Their bones, their joints will be healthy and whole. So you see, my body may be experiencing sickness, but the truth of the word of God, the gospel, is now talking to me and saying that voice had better be louder than the voice of the doctor and the voice of my hip and the voice of my bones, because they have a voice, but God has a voice. Who am I listening to? Identify the voices. The voice of your spirit, the voice of your soul, the voice of your flesh, the spirit of this world, Satan, or God, the Holy Spirit, who is the voice of God. And the Holy Spirit speaks through the word of God. That is why we open these doors so many times. That is why we don't care if there's 10 people here. If there's somebody to teach, we'll teach. Why? Because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then what you hear the word, it connects with your spirit, fused with the Holy Spirit, the candle of God. Faith comes. My spirit rejoices. Now my soul has to get renewed. It has to get rewound. It has to figure out who God is. It has to know about the kingdom of God. It has to understand the kingdom of darkness. This doesn't just happen overnight. This happens line upon line, precept upon precept, day by day, week by week, month by month. When you are hungry to press into God, God is ready to press into you, because he's already there. He is waiting to talk to us, waiting to teach us, waiting to reveal the mysteries to us that have been hidden. But eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the mind of man. But God has by his Spirit. And then if you read on in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, we have been given the mind of Christ. Who are we? Come on, girls. Who are we? We're not Christ. We are part of him. Who are we? We are citizens of heaven, daughters of God, living in a world that is corrupt and falling away. The war between the souls of men has been given to us. That's why we're warriors. That's why God says, preach the gospel at all costs. If necessary, open your mouth. My life lives it. My voice speaks it. My neighborhood knows I'm a Christian by the way I act and respond. Listen, this thing is so real. And you are now, like Karen said, we're not Jesus, but we are his body. And he's not here anymore to heal. But what happened today? Holy Spirit working through me. He wanted to heal some women today. Now, did I do the healing? Absolutely not. I just yielded to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about the voice of God. Let's talk about, so the first thing we've got to do if we're going to hear God's voice, we've got to identify who's talking. Now, number two. So I've gone through the list. It's not my spirit, not my soul, not my flesh, not the Holy Spirit. Ah, oh, spirit of the world trying to deceive me. All right? That's an example. Number two, I'm going to have to listen for the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Because now I got to test the Spirit. Who's talking to me? Identify it. Now I got to listen. Who is it? There's an inner witness when it's God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, 15 in the Amplified says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule and act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving thanks and praise to God always. If you're not thankful, if you're critical and not giving thanks, you're not going to have any peace. But when God speaks to you, whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense, and you will confirm it by the word of God, because he will not violate his word. He will not violate his word. An angel of God will not violate the word of God. That's how you can test the spirits. Because there's a lot of ways that we see how God spoke in the New Testament. He sent angels. Did an angel not go to Cornelius? Dreams and visions. You can have a dream. I've had dreams. Visions are daydreams. Peter was on the roof. He got a vision of a sheet coming down, of every kind of imaginable creature, right? The Spirit said, rise and eat, Peter. A vision. It was a day vision. God will speak in dreams and visions. He's the God of dreams and visions. The Holy Spirit's the God of dreams and visions. He can give you a night dream. He can bring a prophet. Agabus came and took Paul's girdle and said, who owns this? He's going to be persecuted in Jerusalem. That was a prophetic utterance. He can speak by the prophetic. He'll speak through the word. He'll speak through dreams and visions. He'll speak through angel visitations. Yes, you better test the spirits. Any spirit that does not say Jesus came in the flesh is a spirit of the Antichrist, and it's not of God. And if they receive worship, do not listen to them and rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Where do you think these cults came from? Satan himself clothes himself as an angel of light. False gospels, other gospels are in the world today, are they not? Guys, this is so real. This is so, so real. So when you have asked God, because you know what? God has very general words speaking to us, how to behave, how to live, how to act, how to do. But then how do I know what God is saying about my future? Like, am I supposed to go into business? When am I supposed to do this? That's not in the Word of God, is it? There's the general living, and then there's the specific living that we need to hear from God on, do we not? This is how to hear the specific. Identify the voice. God will not violate his word. There'll be an inner witness, a peace of God. It may not make sense, but there's peace. It hasn't violated the word. Let's keep going. Number three, I must trust this voice. If God is speaking to me through the word, my question to you, is it possible to hear God and disobey him? Is it? Then have you heard God? God's definition of hearing. Is it possible to hear God and disobey him? Because God's definition of hearing is different than ours. You know how you're a mom, your kids are screaming and yelling, and somebody comes in, you don't even hear them. And they, you know, the kids say, Mom, earth the mom, earth the mom. You don't even hear them. Why? Because you've tuned out. It's called selective hearing. You hear what you want to hear, right? And then all of a sudden, they'll scream at you, can't you hear those kids? What kids? Not even hear me. Why? Because you tuned out. Well, we can do the same thing in the spirit. We can tune out the voice of God. How do we do that? Because God's speaking, but are we listening? So if you're having a hard time hearing God, here's a test. All right? Is this good? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, because this is a huge example in the Word of God. I must trust his voice. Is it possible to hear God and not obey? The answer is yes, you can hear God and not obey, but it's not God's type of hearing. It is rebellion and disobedience. Now, here's the thing about the kingdom. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. Kingdom of darkness is Satan's kingdom. Kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, come your kingdom, be done your will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The king came to show us the kingdom, did he not? He came preaching and teaching the kingdom. Two different governments. We've been translated out of this dark government. We've been translated into this one. This one operates in the law of love. This one operates in lust and selfishness. Your needs at my needs at your expense, selfishness. Love, your needs at my expense, personal self-sacrifice. That's the law of the kingdom. Faith versus fear. Satan operates in fear. That's his economic system. God's economic system is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It takes from the supernatural, and the invisible brings into the natural, right? Faith works by love, right? God's treasury, God's promises are his word. Satan has his kingdom built on deception. There is no truth in him. Jesus called him the father of lies, and there is no truth in him, right? So when Satan is talking, he is mindful of the things of men and not the things of God. He's separating you from the word of God. He's trying to tempt you away. Remember, the soul's the pivot. The soul's the hinge. The spirit's going, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow the word, follow the word, follow the word. The body's going, no, 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 no. Come, it's fun, fun, fun. Send his pleasure for a sec. Oh, come on, eat that pie, eat that pie, eat that pie. And so the soul's going, oh, what do I do, what do I do? Okay, let's go eat the pie. Flesh. Soul says, no, get behind me, Satan. I'm not eating you. I'm going to lose that weight. I'm getting into those size 7 jeans. Spirit, are you with me? So, we're talking about hearing God's voice. How do I know? I know that there's, first of all, the peace of God. I identify the voice. The peace of God will come from the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, he's an umpire in your soul, man. He wears a black and white shirt. He has a whistle. If the whistle's not going off in your spirit, then keep going. If there's a in your spirit, if there is a check in your spirit, I can only call it the heavenly You know, oh, it seems right. It should be right, but You ever had that? You can actually feel it. You know, you can actually feel where your spirit is. Jenna Conley taught me this. She said, pray in tongues. We did a little woman's advance. There was about 10 of us in there. And she said, you want to know where your spirit is? She says, pray in tongues. I mean, shandalabashata labasita. We all prayed in tongues for about 5 minutes. And she said, no, just be quiet. She said, where are you? And you can just feel your spirit. It's right in your heart area. You can feel it in your body. What are we doing here? Okay. There's a peace of God that passes understanding. Colossians 3:16. There's an umpire. It's the Holy Spirit. If he's blowing the whistle, if you go, I don't know. It seems okay, but it's called a check. Stop. Don't do one thing on that decision until you get peace. Because God will give you peace, whether it makes sense or not. If he tells you to march around Jericho 7 times, it makes no sense. But you got the peace of God, then you start marching. You hearing what I'm saying? Because God will not always make sense to us. But if there's the peace of God, it'll work. So now, what hinders this? What keeps me from hearing the word of God? Because you're wired for it like you're wired for worship. You've got your spirit. You got your soul. What's keeping me from hearing God? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to read a lot of verses. So watch and listen. He's talking about Israel when they came out of Egypt. He's talking about entering into the rest of faith. He's talking about hearing the voice of God. Now, the rest of faith. Where's my pen? In hearing God, in God's definition of hearing, there is hearing and there is a corresponding action of doing. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. When you hear the word and you don't do it, you've just entered into self-deception, which is Satan's kingdom. Separating you from the word of God, it will harden your heart. Are you with me? When you hear God's word, God says believe, which is faith, and do, or I'm going to say obey. So it's hearing correspondingly with obedience will bring you into the blessing of God, hearing the voice of God. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you've just entered into rebellion and disobedience. It hardens your heart. You're not going to hear from God until you go back to God, tell him you're sorry, repent, and then you'll hear again. You ever had that happen? It's very important. Listen, God doesn't just have casual conversations with us. This isn't a joke. He's not like just chatting away with us. God speaks through his word. I've heard the audible voice of God 3 times in my life. He does speak through an audible voice. He'll confirm it in the word. He told me, I heard his audible voice. He said, I've called you to love that man when I met Jim Cobray. It was Jesus was standing right next to me. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said, I've called you to love that man. I heard him. I heard his breath. I felt his presence. I turned around expecting a person to be there, and there was nobody there. And I married Jim Cobray, and I've loved him ever since. Faith came up in my heart. I knew the voice of God. I was a brand new Christian, but my sheep hear my voice. You'll know it. God speaks in an audible voice. God speaks through his word. God speaks through his prophets. He speaks through dreams and visions. But the word is the main source of where he speaks to us. Now, Israel had come out of Egypt. 40 years God was wearied with this group. Today, verse 7, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So God's speaking to them. They're listening, and not doing, are they? They tempted him. They tried God. He finally threw up his hands and said, they're wicked. They're not listening. They're not obeying what I've told them to do. I told them to go into the promised land. The 10 spies came back and said, oh, no, there's giants. And the whole group of them wanted to go back to Egypt, right? They didn't just do that once. They did that 10 times. Verse 12, beware. Talking to us, beware, Debbie Cobray, beware, girlfriends, lest there be in any of me and you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I can get a hard of hearing condition when sin is in my life. I don't deal with it. It hardens my heart. I am in the deceitfulness of sin. I'm in the trap, and I don't know it, because deception says you think you're right, but you're wrong. Does it not? Isn't that the nature of deception? So when God tells me to do something, and I don't do it, I do the opposite. I hear, and I doubt, and I disbelieve, and I don't obey. I am now in a very dangerous position of a hardened heart and the deceitfulness of sin. And I'll not have the rest and the peace of God, and I'll not hear from God. That's what happened to Israel. So what can keep me from hearing God's voice? Strongholds. Distrust. Suspicion. Disbelief. Doubt. Misgivings. How about cynicism? You know, an intellectual community, or you're listening to the news, and you just get cynical about everything. Ah, the Lord's never coming back. Ah, this isn't going to happen. It's been this way forever. You listen to everybody else. Cynicism. What if God's saying, get ready. But my heart's hard because of unbelief. Listen, if it can happen to them, if it's in the New Testament, he's talking to us. And in the last days, there's going to be lying signs and wonders. There's going to be all kinds of voices going on. There's going to be signs that you're going to say, surely that's God. Is it? You see, if we don't know this stuff, we're going to be deceived, and we're going to fall. And God doesn't want us to fall. He wants us to stand up. So, cynicism, wariness, skepticism, fear, all of those things will keep you from doing what God tells you to do. God says, I want you to love your husband. I want you to reverence him. I don't like him. He's hurt me. I don't want to be near that man. I want nothing to do with him. God's just told me to honor him, love him, adore him, prize him in the human sense, be devoted to him. 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Amplified. I've memorized it all because I've taught it for years. I've had to live it. But my flesh says no. My soul says no. He's hurt me too much. I'm sorry. You don't forgive. You don't do what the word says. There's no peace in your home. Your marriage isn't brought back together. You can't hear from God. Why would that be? Could it be because you have heard but not obeyed? And now you are in deception and you are not in any kind of rest of faith at all. Guys, I want you to hear God, but you and I have a condition on this hearing. When he tells us to do something and we don't do it, it's sin. And if we allow ourselves to stay in that condition, we're not going to hear his voice, even though he wants to speak to us, until we get right with him. Israel did it. I can do it. And Satan will come with bait and with traps to get you into the flesh, because your soul is the hinge of the spirit or the flesh. It happens in relationships. It happens in marriages. It happens on the job. It happens with money. It happens with everything. And God says, I want you to hear my voice. Because if you do what I tell you to do, you're going to be blessed. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though I'm telling you to go to war against these massive giants like Caleb and Joshua said, they're bred for us. We can do this. Everybody else said, we can't do this. Who was right and who was wrong? The story of the 12 spies that he uses the example of here. Do you know that story? You guys know that story. We've taught it. Who was right and who was wrong? Was Caleb and Joshua, were they wrong? Who went into the promised land after 40 years of everybody dying off? Who are the two people that went into the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. Who died in the wilderness? The 10 princes and all their families, right? All the men that went and all that generation that would not do what God said. Did they die in the wilderness? Did they ever inherit the promises? Did they ever have the rest of faith? No. Did they hear God's voice? Yes, but what did they do when they heard God's voice? They ignored it. They disobeyed it. My last scripture for today, Isaiah. And then I want the girls to come up because we're going to have some questions. I've gone so long. Can you guys come up, Jess? I want you to turn to Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament. This really needs to be a long, extensive teaching, but I think you're getting it. I know you're getting it. It's not rocket science. He says, if you come to the kingdom like a child, so a child can understand this. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, defend the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, white as wool. If, verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the word has spoken it. God's definition of hearing is hearing and doing. If you don't, until you get back with God and repent, you're not going to hear. He loves you. He wants to talk to you. But if I can't do the general things of the Word of God, what makes me think that this God who has created the universe, who has running the universe, who owns the universe, is going to have just a chatty Cathy conversation with me when I won't even do what he tells me to do on the general living standards. And I want to know about my future. That's how important this is. Who am I going to marry? What am I going to do with my life? Am I going to have a career, God? Right now, Jim and I are changing. We're switching. We're in transition. We've stepped away from some things and we're stepping into other things. Is it make any sense? No. It doesn't make any sense. But do we believe it's God? Yes. Is it coming together like we thought it would? No. But since what has that got to do with anything? When we started this church, it didn't make any sense. But God told me in prayer to pray for the Burge Mansion. It didn't make any sense. But God gave it to us and put $1 million into this church. When Jim wouldn't give an altar call and God told me, tell your husband I want him to give an altar call, and he wouldn't listen to me. Did it make any sense? No. But God told me in the Word of God as I took my Bible to prayer with me, because prayer is talking to God and God talking to you. So if you're not hearing from God, are you praying? Jesus spent hours in the middle of the night when everybody was sleeping talking to God so that in the daytime he could heal the sick, bring the kingdom. Sometimes, like Jess said this morning, you got to press in. There's a place of prayer and there's a place of communication with God, with you. That's why I take my Bible with me when I talk to God, because God speaks to me in my spirit. My spirit's the candle of the Lord. I'll have an impression. I want you to turn to me. I want you to go to Jeremiah 31:16 is what the Holy Spirit told me years ago in prayer. Gave me a verse. Refrain your voice from weeping, your eyes from tears, says the Lord. Your work will be rewarded. Your children shall return from the land of the enemy. There's hope in your future. I didn't know that promise was for the future, but it was a word of God. God spoke to me. It was a rhema. God wants to speak to you, but there are very practical things. Identify the voices. Identify them. Number two, you have to have the witness of the Holy Spirit. There's a peace that comes. If you don't have that peace, then don't move on it yet, because there'll be an inner witness of peace. He's the umpire. He wears black and white. He blows a whistle. You get a check in your spirit. Stop. Till you get the peace of God. Don't you move. Number three, I've got to hear the word and I got to obey the word. I've got to be able to hear it, not like Israel did, and disobey. Rebellion and disobedience will cause you not to inherit the promises of God. Faith and obedience will cause you to inherit the promises of God. Willing and obedient. Look at your neighbor and say, willing. Attitude. Willing is attitude. Willing and obedient is action. Attitude follows action follows attitude, does it not? God says if you have the right attitude, you're willing. You're not kicking and screaming and complaining. Have you noticed in the Word of God that God tells us to come with grateful hearts? He tells us to come with thanksgiving. He tells us to come when I don't come that way. When I come kicking and screaming and complaining and ranting and raving, guess what? The Holy Spirit doesn't really have a big conversation with me, except maybe to tell me to shut up and calm down. Get yourself together. He said to Job, stand up like a man. Who is this that darkens counsel? Job's friends were wrong. Job was wrong. And God said, did he answer Job's questions? No. He said, Job, let me tell you who I am. I created this universe. I run this universe. I own this universe. I am God. You see, he made me. He owns me. He commands me. He made me. He owns me. He commands me. He made me. He owns me. He commands me. When he does not command me, the servant does not hear from the master. Why? Because I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I belong to him. This is not a joke. This is everyday Christian living. When you begin to hear the voice of God, you get an idea. You go to the right place. You're at the right place at the right time. All of a sudden, favor's on your life. You're hearing from God. Doors are opening. That will happen to you. The right person will come in. The right person will just come in one day out of the blue when you're not looking for it. There'll be a Jim Cobray having dinner at your house. And you'll think, who is this weirdo? And all of a sudden, you'll hear this voice called you to love that man. And there have been times in the 35 years we've been married when it's been difficult. Because we've had some hard times as pastors. And God always brings me back to the word. I've called you to love him. Then he took me to Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her value is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, for he knows that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. When the enemy's coming at you saying, he's this, he's that, he's this, he's that, he's this, he's that, he's this, he's that. Trying to separate you from the word of God that the Holy Spirit's speaking into your heart. You see, the voice of God is speaking to you all the time. All you have to do is open the voice, the living, breathing word of God. Say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I need to press in. I need a word. Lord, if I have been in sin, if I have been disobedient, and Lord, my heart is hardened, and it's so hard, Lord, that I can't even see it right now, that I need you to reveal it to me. He will. He's waiting for you to get right. If there's an area in your life you're not dealing with that he's been wanting you to deal with, he'll talk to you about it. Then you'll go, it's too hard. I can't change. Oh, he knows that. He knows how hard it is, the flesh. He knows. He suffered everything. He's He's human. Remember, all God and all men. He understands us. He'll give you grace to step out of the problem one step at a time. Letting go of one fear at a time. Walking into faith. Walking into the ways of God. Hearing the voice of God. Beloved, you are so absolutely, completely loved. Your Father wants you to hear Him. He wants you to know Him. Identify your voices, because there's a lot of voices and there's a lot of choices. Who's speaking? Does it have the mind of God, or does it have the mind of men? Is there peace in the instruction? Is the Holy Spirit blowing the whistle, or is there peace? And you've got the word to confirm it. Are you listening and obeying? Because if you're not, you need to get right. Because He says there is a rest of faith. I don't have time to go into the rest of it, but read the chapter. I want you to enter into the rest. It's a rest of faith. The proof of faith is rest. It's that peace. God, it doesn't make sense, but here we are, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because God wants you to hear His voice. Voices and choices. Identify who's speaking. Get the inner witness. Hear it and do it. Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Rebellious and disobedient. Faith-filled, obedient. Rebellious, disobedient. Where are you at? Go back. When's the last time you heard from God? Go back. Did He tell you to do something? You haven't done it. Jess had a word today. He said, I got to talk to you. I want you to press in. So just, it may be a little thing. It may not be a big thing, and it's not a big deal, but God wants to deal with it. Why? Because He wants to tune you into that frequency so you know His voice and you have faith to do what He tells you to do. Because there'll be a lot of voices trying to talk you out of this. But God is faithful, and He gives grace and power to those who will be dependent on Him. Girls, if nothing else, let's just be the most dependent women on the face of the earth. We need Him to breathe. He made us. He owns us. He commands us. Let's say it. He made me. He owns me. He commands me. One more time. He made me. He owns me. He commands me. Now let's just stand up. And let's just take a moment. Father, I just lift up my own life to You and those areas of my life that You've been wanting to deal with that I've been just stubborn about, Father. I just apologize. And I just ask, Lord, that You'd help me to make the changes You need me to make in my life. If that's You right now, I just want You to lift Your hands. Lord, we just lift our hands right now. We just ask that You'd forgive us. Lord, I've been hard-hearted in some things, and I'm just sorry. I need Your help. I need Your help. And I thank You that You give grace to the humble. You give power to be able to do what Your word commands us to do. So I just thank You for grace upon grace now on our women, these women right here, as we all together. You said, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive. You said, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. So, Lord, we just thank You. We're not going to sit here and just tell everything we've done wrong. That's not necessary. But, Lord, we just publicly acknowledge that there are things in our lives that You want to deal with and we've not allowed You to. Maybe it's fear, whatever it could be. It just could be a million different things. Insecurity. Lord, you're just tired of this insecurity all the time. I'm just, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It stops faith. It stops faith. It's time to just move past that. It's time just to move past that and move into the realm of the Spirit where You are recreated in the image of God, daughters of God, the mind of Christ. Now, I want to pray something over you specifically. If you want this, I'm going to ask God to give it to us. And we're going to have to fast some things to get it because Daniel had to fast the king's food. And it was sumptuous. But he wanted to obey God. And he out-influenced the influencers, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were just kids, and they refused the wine and the good food. If you want a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and for the word that you've maybe lost, or maybe it's just kind of dulled in you, maybe it's just dim. I just want you to just, I'm just going to pray. But it may mean God's going to say to you, okay, I want you to fast television. I want you to fast this. I want you to fast that. I want you to give it up. I want you to open your Bible and come meet with me. If that's what you want, then let's just ask God for it. He says, you have not because you ask not. So, Lord, I just thank you for the grace to seek you, for the grace to turn things off, for the grace to shut things down, for the grace to turn our minds off, our demands off, our families off. Lord, for that time and that place that we carve out in our lives, it's our choice to seek you and open your word. And I just pray as we open the word, Lord, that you'd fill our hearts. You said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I thank you for the promise of your word, that as we hunger and thirst, you'll fill us. So I thank you for a thirst and a hunger at Girlfriends, in these women, that they hunger and they thirst to know you, to know your ways, to know your word. May the light shine. May the penny drop. May they see what they've not seen and hear what they've not heard. Lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen. Identify the voices. Look for the inner witness, the umpire. Hear and obey. I love you enough. Jess never got to the panel. I'm so sorry.